program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. It's currently 35 degrees out.
It's nice and warm. I thought it was going to be like 50 today, but we're only hitting a high of 41. I'm dreaming.
That's perfectly fine. I would say that, 40's good. We don't want this stuff to melt off too fast. We've had a lot of snow. And if it melts off too fast, we're going to be flooded. So,
True.
It can keep its pace. Although I did have a slight heart attack last night when I heard that it was supposed to snow last night. And I was like, for the love of God and all things holy, please do not snow again.
Yeah, I won't say the word, but I saw something that it was supposed to S and R this weekend.
Interpreted in so many different ways.
Think weather if you're thinking weird. Okay. Supposed to be this weekend, either tonight or some point. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're in training this weekend. We're giving a class. So
That's right. ACHP class this weekend. So welcome, listeners. You're here with Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. And we have Cindy's friend, Ann, as always, hanging out with us here at the studio here in Fairbanks. It is, 70 degrees in the studio. So not the cold phase that we had last show.
Oh, it was freezing.
As always, if you have any questions or calls or comments, I should say, please call 458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And you can also live stream the show, as always, at kfarradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And there's apps out there. Imagine that. Go to the App Store. You can download the KFAR Radio app on the Google or the Android and iPhone store. Yeah, there you go. It's all easy. So, and we got Matt back today, unfortunately.
Boo. Welcome back.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. Hey.
Took unauthorized AWOL last Thursday. We did miss him.
Yeah.
It's nice having our son around. Anyways, let's start the show. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, a couple of reminders. Remember, the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be April 9th. That's tonight over at TVSA Range from 5:30 to 7. It's over at 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks, crossed Airport Way from Fred's West. So pretty easy to find. Tonight, the subject is how to cape and care for your trophy in the field. So I think that would be important. So, yeah. That's who's calling me.
Oh.
Well, he'll have to go to voicemail.
Who's calling you?
Our other adult son. So.
He always calls around 11
no,
o'clock.
No, this is that guy.
Oh, the other adult son.
Yeah. Sorry, we digressed. Anyways, TVSA will be having its Spring 2026 gun show on April 18th and 19th. The show times will be from 10 to 5 on the 18th and 11 to 4 on the 19th, which is Sunday. The admission is $5 per adult, $4 for active military. Tables are sold out.
Yes.
But that's good. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
This is a huge fundraiser for them. Also, remember last Thursday I forgot to talk about the memberships, but I got those now. So they've changed the pricing of their memberships over there at TVSA Range, which is pretty cool. But nonetheless, annual memberships are $125. Annual family memberships are $250. That includes spouse and children under 18. They also have a lifetime membership for individual, which is $1,250. That's $1,250. Not to be confused with $12.50. The annual membership, junior, $35, is for under 18. They must be accompanied by an adult member or part of an approved program. So, schools that go over and shoot and stuff like that. So, that's pretty cool. Public shooting hours at the TVSA range are every Thursday from 6 to 8, and cost is only $5 for members, $20 for non-members. So there's how you can start repaying yourself. Just go every Thursday and shoot at public shooting time. So that'd be great.
Four times will pay yourself.
Well, if not for the annual membership.
Yeah.
I went to the Idaho public school system. Math's not my strong suit. Anyways.
Yours. That'll take a few. You've never been a math person.
No. No. Yeah. I'm lucky I'm doing this. All right. Last but not least, the C4 Training Group is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit in Fairbanks, Alaska on June 20th and 21st. This exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using active self-protection's evidence-based techniques. Experience two transformative days of professional instruction tailored for real-world self-defense scenarios. The instructors will be Neil Widener and Chris Bean. Go to our website, course calendar, to get the link to sign up, or you can go directly to theactiveselfprotection.com/shop to sign up for that class. That's going to be pretty cool. Now, I get it, ladies and gentlemen. It is on June 20th and 21st, and what else goes on during that time? That's not a rhetorical question.
Solstice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of events that are going on, but here's the deal. Like, these guys are coming up here from the lower 48. These are programs that are generally only found in the lower 48, so I think it's an excellent opportunity to maybe pull away from summer solstice one time. I mean, you're going to have more summers up here anyways.
But you'll have the evening to celebrate, too.
Well, that's true, too. Well, there is no evening that time of the year.
That's true, but...
You stay up all night.
I mean, yeah, you can stay up all night. Like,
because the class is over at what time?
Like 5 o'clock normally.
Oh.
Yeah, 1,700 for those military side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just getting started. On
you'll miss
all the
an
other
hour
stuff.
Of it and you'll be good.
Yeah, just don't show up intoxicated to the next class. All right. ACHP class is only $175. Our next class is 16th and 17th of May. That's the 16th and 17th of May. April is sold out. That's going to be this weekend that we've already alluded to. So pretty cool. Just got a call from a guy who was like, do you have any classes or slots for the April class? I was like, no, sorry, we're already sold out. And as a matter of fact, we do have a small waiting list already. So he's like, well, I guess that's what happens when you wait too long. Right, so I guess the lesson is don't wait too long. The May class is going to fill up as well. So
yes.
Be proactive.
Be proactive. And that's one of those things that Matt's going to talk about here later on about training as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get this week in firearms history in before we have to go into our first break. So April 9th, 1879, back when Cindy was born.
Yep. I've held my age
kidding.
Well.
You have? Yeah. What, you're like a Benjamin Button. Just kidding. Anyways.
You're a butt today.
Okay, I'll take that. She can't say the other word on radio, apparently. Anyways.
No, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. On this date, it's funny, I just said Benjamin Button and Benjamin Goo of Canton, Mississippi, was granted U.S. patents related to firearms magazines. These covered improvements in the design to improve upon earlier designs like the Henry and Spencer repeaters. Always got to improve it, make it more efficient, effective. So Goo's patents focused on mechanical enhancements to the feeding and operation of tubular and other magazine systems in breech-loading firearms. While these designs did not achieve widespread commercial or military adaptation, Goh reportedly struggled to secure capital for the production. They reflected the ongoing innovation in repeating arms technology during the post-Civil War era. Such efforts contributed to the broader evolution towards more reliable, higher capacity shoulder arms that influenced later lever action and bolt action developments. So, I thought that was pretty cool. As these guys just continue to design and make things better. They're kind of like, some of these guys are like kind of the Elon Musk of the firearms world. So that's pretty cool.
They're probably less socially awkward than he is, though.
You think?
Yeah.
I think it's because he's an alien.
Yeah. Or a lizard person. That's the other one that's thrown out there.
What is a lizard person?
They're, oh, man.
That's another show.
That's another show. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We'll figure that one out.
Yeah. So I don't want to get into my editorial until after the first break, though, because we don't have the time. But I want to talk about gun-free zones.
Boo.
Well, agree. But the hypocrisy of the gun-free zone is what I'm really going to address, because I just find it fascinating that our government seems to think that the only people that should be armed is the military and or law enforcement only. Like, I think that is a very slippery slope when only the government has guns.
Yep.
Or yeah. Only when the government has protection. And then you make these gun-free zones that literally disarm the citizen. But you can have the mayor of Chicago run around for a $30 million per year tab. More law enforcement on his security detail that are in the transit system.
Jeez.
Pretty sad, huh?
Providing him security. Imagine that. Take his security away. I bet they'll change their mind on guns. But we've got to go into our first break. Here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here. Oh, and Anne chilling over there. Like, I think she's going to sleep.
No,
anyway,
she's reading.
We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM.
She's reading.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work trucks set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for a mix of rain and snow today, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime high is approaching 41. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows dip down to about 22. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it is now 35 degrees outside and 70 degrees inside the studio. So we're doing good. Oh, went up to 71. So we're doing good. And spring or summer. I don't think we actually have a spring. I think we just transition straight into like daylight and summer around this place. And this white crap just melts off and then creates a flood nasty. And then nobody can wash their cars or clean.
You sound so positive.
I am absolutely positive today. This is positive.
Yeah. It is.
It's this is infantry positive.
Well, it's warming up outside. You can go outside.
I just want that giant
now.
Heat tab to like come out.
Yeah,
and you just could, get rid of all this stuff.
But this is the only place you could live and have four seasons every day.
She's right. She grew up here.
I know. I wasn't going to argue with her about that, for sure.
I agree. And we can go out on the range, and you can be all bundled up in your winter clothes to practice, and then by afternoon, you can strip down to your summer clothes, and you'll be fine.
I hate that. I hate going in. I'm like, I'm going to wear a jacket, and then I'm like, I'm too exhausted and too deep into training to take it off. Then I'm just sweaty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly.
Besides the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like training in a thong and a light coat of Break Free.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think I want to see that.
It's train how you fight.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a home invasion, you're going to be fighting in nothing but, you know, a rifle with a sling anyways.
I keep a ditty size worth of oil on the nightstand. So the moment someone breaks in, I jump into it and go.
It's not like they're going to wrestle you down.
No, they're not going to be able to.
No, yeah. We're on a wrestling match now,
boy. I don't need to worry about lubricating my weapon either.
Nope. None. All right. Man, we literally could go off on some tangents. All right. Anyways.
Yeah, we're back. Well, we kept going off, but it was a moose all around our house. Kept
what?
Going off and going off.
How do we get from lubricating the baby oil, the baby oil to a moose outside? Like,
well, invaders.
Oh.
Invaders.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Your invaders could be a moose.
I remember in Idaho, we used to have the rodeos and stuff like that, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay.
They
always had that thing with the kids and stuff like that where they would like do the goat roping.
The Snake River Stampede Rodeo.
Yeah.
Still big back home.
Yeah, sure. But I also remember that they had the grease pig thing.
I don't remember that.
I remember that. Maybe that was just a Greenleaf, Idaho thing.
Maybe you're
Cindy was from the big city of Nampa.
Maybe you're the little hillbilly.
I am a hillbilly.
Sounds like Fairbanks.
Yeah. Run around rustling down greased pigs.
Okay. Anyways. There you go.
All right. Gun-free zones. Target-rich environments and the hypocrisy of guns for me, not for thee. Gun-free zones are presented as straightforward measure to enhance public safety. Yeah, okay. Signs are posted at schools, malls, government buildings, and other public venues declaring that firearms are prohibited. The stated intent is to create spaces free of violence by removing the tools of violence. Yet the practical effect is often the opposite. These designations disarm law-abiding citizens while offering no deterrent to those who intend harm. Criminals and would-be mass shooters do not respect posted regulations. They do not pause at the entrance to read signage or reconsider their plans just because a jurisdiction has declared an area off limits to firearms. Instead, such zones signal vulnerability, an absence of immediate armed resistance. Empirical analysis by the Crime Prevention Research Center has consistently shown that a disproportionate number of mass public shootings occur in locations where civilians are legally barred from carrying firearms. The pattern is clear. Perpetrators select environments in which they can maximize casualties with minimal risk to themselves. Law-abiding gun owners deprived of their constitutional means of self-defense are left defenseless precisely when protection is most needed. This policy choice becomes even more troubling when one examines the conduct of the elected officials who advocate most vigorously for expanded gun-free zones. The same leaders who support restrictive firearm legislation in public spaces routinely surround themselves with armed protection funded by you, the taxpayer. A prominent example is Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, whose administration has championed some of the nation's most stringent gun control measures. Of course, we do call it Chirac anyways. Sorry. Had to throw that in there.
I love that.
Recent reporting reveals that Mayor Johnson is protected by a security detail comprising of up to 150 Chicago police, I almost said Chirac, Chicago Police Department officers. The annual cost to city taxpayers is estimated at approximately $30 million, encompassing salaries, overtime, vehicles, and specialized equipment. This level of armed security exceeds that provided by to the entire Chicago Transit Authority, a system plagued by rising violent crime. The contrast is instructive. Ordinary citizens in Chicago and across the country are told that their right to self-defense must yield to collective notions of safety through prohibition. Meanwhile, those who craft and enforce these policies avail themselves to the very armed protection they deny to the public. This arrangement is not merely inconsistent. It embodies a clear double standard: armed security for the governing class, vulnerability for everyone else. Such hypocrisy undermines public trust and constitutional principle. The Second Amendment exists to safeguard the fundamental right of self-defense against both criminal threats and governmental overreach. When elected representatives exempt themselves from the restrictions they impose on constituents, they erode the equal application of law that defines a free society. True public safety is not achieved by disarming the innocent and signaling to the guilty that certain locations offer low resistance opportunities. It is achieved by empowering responsible citizens to protect themselves, their families, and their communities. At Shooter's Corner, we maintain that firearms ownership and responsible carry are essential components of personal security and civic responsibility. Gun-free zones do not reduce violence. They redistribute risk unto the unarmed. As long as politicians continue to practice guns for me, not for thee, the case for repealing or reforming these zones grows stronger. Citizens deserve consistent standards. Standards that respect the Second Amendment rather than selectively nullify it for political convenience. We urge listeners to remain informed, engaged, and prepared. The right to keep and bear arms is not a privilege granted by government. It is a safeguard against those who would monopolize force while leaving the public exposed. That's my editorial.
Well, I think that's pretty important. We really need to start paying attention with the next election and what's coming up, just in all areas.
We've got a caller.
Do we?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. I almost had a caller on the other one, too. I was about ready to put him on the air. Go ahead. All
right, thanks. I don't disagree with what you said, but first, I have two things. First, this whole idea that the Second Amendment was just about self-defense and hunting, I don't recall in all my readings of the founding, aside from the Federalist Papers, their letters between and amongst each other later, and their wives, too. They talked a lot to their wives in letters.
Sure.
Nobody ever mentioned self-defense or hunting. That was a given. Everybody did that. That's the way it was. It's all about having arms to fight a tyrannical government, which we have.
And in those era, they literally remembered what it was like over in England, where a king, a place that actually has kings,
yep,
was actually ruling. That they were the ruling class. They're the ones that had the security. And if they weren't armed over in that area in England at the time, then literally the government had full control over everything. And so that's the reason why that Second Amendment was put into place. That's why it's number two behind freedom of speech and religion.
I know. And all the other things. And assembly and all that stuff. But anyway, and to petition. But anyway, you know, people need to discuss more what it's really for.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
And that is for a tyrannical government, which we have.
Do not disagree.
Well,
so
please talk about that more a little bit. Toss that into your self-defense and hunting discussion on the 2A, because everybody keeps not bringing it up.
Sounds good.
There was something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was, so never mind.
Okay. No, that sounds perfect.
All right.
We got another caller. All right, caller, you're on the air with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Howdy, y'all. This is Colonel Montana Kid Hammer. How are you guys doing today?
You know, I was hoping you were going to call in.
Oh, thank you.
And the reason why I say that is because I read your paper last night. I didn't want to email you back so late or anything, because I don't know what your like computer does or if it dings or whatever. But I'll let you go with what your question or your comments are, and then I got something that I'm going to ask you. So,
sir. I was just wondering what you and Matt, had you had the time to look at it, gave thought to it.
Yeah, I don't know. Matt, did you get that?
I didn't even see the email.
I don't
until
remember
this
seeing
morning.
Him CC'd on that, Colonel.
I have it. I haven't had the time to open it. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, well, don't take offense to it though. Cause he doesn't half time respond to me either. And
that's right. I'm a busy man.
And he's like our chief operating officer, and I can't get him to do anything.
Okay. All right. Well. Goodbye. Now.
All right. What you got for us, Colonel?
Well, like I said, I'm planning that article for another venue, but again, I trust and respect and appreciate the way that you know you look at things and any comments that you could provide, or you know, fair or foul, because there's thing is wrong here, just so that I could you know fortify that article for future use is why I was asking.
Couple questions for you. Do you mind if I just read a portion of it?
Please.
Okay, so it says that the S&W, I assume that's Smith & Wesson American cartridge, black powder charged, had a 218 grain round nose, flat face, soft lead projectile with a muzzle velocity of 650 to 700 feet per second. I'm like, holy cow, that is slow by today's standards.
It's an airsoft gun.
It's an airsoft gun. But you're literally, you kind of put it in context in that it says this projectile is lighter and slower traveling. No kidding. I mean, you could probably watch it go down range like the 45.
Yeah.
I remember being on qualifying with the 45 and watching your rounds go down range.
I'm pretty sure that round, it would look like a Blue Angels like jet going down the vapor trail. You could just see it clear as day.
Yeah. But it says
you could run alongside it as it goes down.
Yeah, literally. But I thought that was because you said that given the distances in this fight, it retained all its lethal muzzle velocity and kinetic energy. Yeah, I mean, because what were they, like, only not even more than 10 feet away, small little thing? So,
yeah.
Anyways, if you don't mind, hang on through the break, because we have to go into our mandatory break, or you can just call right back. Doesn't matter, one way or the other, whatever you got, Carl. I want to discuss a couple other things with you about that, too, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So, got to go into our mandatory break, ladies and gentlemen. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in KFAR 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this mandatory news.
You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5.
News. I'm John Saucier. Iran is still reportedly limiting ship traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Maryland Democratic Representative Glenn Ivey criticizing the president for saying he might join Iran in charging a toll on ships passing through that strait.
It's a bargaining chip for them that they're going to use. And instead of saying, nope, you got to put it back to its free passage again, he's talking about working with them and splitting. That's outrageous. I just think that's crazy.
Despite those comments, the White House says the president opposes tolls on the critical shipping lane. Georgia Republican Clay Fuller defeating Democrat Sean Harris to fill the seat vacated by former Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. The congressman-elect on Fox says he's confident going into November.
Obviously, one thing that people aren't talking about is this was a special election. Mm-hmm. And so turnout was different in a special election than our normal primary. So we're looking forward to continuing to win this thing and dominate this race heading into November.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education approved a budget Monday night in Homer that includes the closure of four schools following what Superintendent Clayton Holland described as a long and emotionally charged meeting. The board met for work sessions and a formal meeting that stretched nearly to midnight as members grappled with how to address a projected $8.5 million deficit for the upcoming fiscal year. It was a hard meeting, Holland said. There was a lot of emotions and thoughts from people in attendance and people who are impacted. To help close the gap, the board approved the closure of Seward Middle School, Sterling Elementary School, Tustamina Elementary School, and River City Academy. Holland said the decision was driven primarily by declining enrollment and underutilized school buildings across the district. Closing the schools is expected to save a little over $1 million through reductions in staffing, utilities, and maintenance costs, though Holland noted the exact figure may shift as the budget is finalized.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters. No matter what it is, small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more, you'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
Auto Trim Design has it all, from radios, speakers, amplifiers, moose lights, running boards, and step bars, to WeatherTech floor liners and mud flaps. And don't forget about the CompuStar remote starts, Arctic polyurea spray and bed liners, back racks, and ladder racks. Auto Trim Design also has Lear and ARE toppers and smart caps. All this and more at Auto Trim Design under the big American flag.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're Chuck, Cindy, Matt at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, where it's now 35 degrees still outside. I don't know. I haven't looked at my phone to sell. But anyways, it doesn't matter. Still looks cold.
We got a caller.
And we got a caller. Hopefully it's Kona calling back.
Should be live.
The Hammer.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, perfect. All right, so back to our conversation. We had talked about the slow muzzle velocity of this 218 grain round nose flat face. Almost sounds like an ugly girl.
I don't think slow. I think lethargic.
My girlfriend has a round nose, flat face, soft leg. Anyways.
What?
I don't know. It's an infantry thing. I don't know. Visualized it.
Yeah, I completely
call me crazy.
It helps us remember things, process better.
I'm going to call you crazy.
I'm sorry. What's that?
It's a firearm of 1870, so we're still, you know, making that transition to things like the, you know, the Colt cartridge and the Winchester centerfire, you know, 44.
Right. So was this round like a cartridge like rimfire or something?
It becomes centerfire. Yeah, they work on centerfire.
Oh, okay. So these guys are centerfire at this time. Okay. All right. Then it talks about how the other one. Okay. Let's see, Wyatt Earp. Okay, so Ike Clanton was one of the men in the lot during the gunfight, yet had no firearms because he had been disarmed earlier in the day. And I think that's kind of important that people don't understand is, like, people just didn't run around with guns. Like, city marshals would literally, like, tell you to turn your guns in. Like, there was no enforcement of the Second Amendment back then. And a lot of people also don't realize that it wasn't until like the 80s and 90s that a lot of cities and states started allowing concealed carry and stuff like that. Like,
hey, let me step in on you, cut in on you for this a minute. I need coffee. Ann, you grew up here in Fairbanks. Were there a lot of people wearing guns? Were they concealed or were they more out in the open carry?
I didn't see too many open carry. Not a lot.
Days. They just beat each other to death.
Yeah. I guess before the pipeline days, you know, maybe back in the 50s, it wasn't unusual to see somebody walking around with a pistol. Except, you know, I went blueberry picking a lot, so all the guys had pistols, but that's something else.
Yeah.
It was more for bears.
So do you agree with that, Colonel, though, that they would, like, basically the marshals or city sheriff or whatever like that would disarm people?
Yeah, that could be a requirement. You know, the city, usually city fathers would, you know, ask the constabulary to set something up, and you checked your guns in and you checked your guns out. So you would wear them into town and out of town and all that. That was their most expedient way to try to keep the peace when a lot of alcohol flowed and so on and so forth.
Yeah, because Virgil Earp was Tombstone's city marshal at that time, so he was buddies, obviously, with Wyatt.
Yeah, Major, with the Mayor Clum, John Clum, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But also so back to Ike Clanton. He's disarmed earlier that day, probably by Virgil or one of his deputies. But he said he made his way to Wyatt during the gunplay, partly shielding and directly interfering with Wyatt's fight. Wyatt pushed past Ike's physical contact and was said to state, "Go to fighting or get away." I think that's incredibly important that even Wyatt Earp, in the middle of a gunfight, had the wherewithal to understand that this guy was not armed, so therefore technically not a threat to him, so therefore don't shoot him.
Correct. And again, as the article points out, Wyatt would much rather bean you over the head with a barrel or actually use his fists on you if he could. He was a known pugilist.
Yeah, for the people that don't know, pugilist is somebody who just pummels somebody with their fist. They're boxers, fighters. So, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool, though, that even during this gunfight or whatever like that, he recognized that I didn't have firearms, and therefore he was like, "Hey, you either get to fighting or you go away." He just didn't shoot him blindly I guess what I'm saying is he exercised a degree of, what's the word I'm thinking about? Like situational awareness and, you know, of his battle space.
Yep.
Like he knew what the armed threats were and just dealt with him appropriately. And this disarmed guy who just got in his way intentionally, he just didn't shoot him.
Part of the argument was that the Earps were just murderers, just killers and all.
Right.
And, they were certainly shooters of opportunity. I'm not going to argue that, but they knew better than to shoot down an unarmed man. That, you know, that was senseless.
I think they probably just at least subscribed to the idea that a gun in hand is gun in play.
Yeah,
exactly. As we know what, you know, he does with Frank. He knows Frank's going to be the most deadliest. So he works on that target first, and then works his way through the fight. Again, We don't really know how many rounds that Wyatt Earp would actually discharge. We don't even know if he unloads and reloads, but that pistol definitely gave him the opportunity to empty it and reload it had that needed to transpire.
You also mentioned in your article that it's obviously a slower velocity gun, right? So not a lot of like recoil, but it also is a heavy gun. And we talk about that a lot in our classes where mass makes a difference, right? Like if it's a heavier gun or a heavier frame, such as a Glock 17 or a full-size gun, because I'm a Glock aficionado from the last call.
Yes, you are.
But nonetheless, mass equals the ability to help manage recoil. And in this case, Wyatt saw the same thing in this particular gun as well. So.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Part of the reason I'm writing articles, if you're in cowboy action or whatever you want to do, and you're looking for experiential archaeology, living history, and you're looking for something that you can, handle in recoil, this could be the firearm that you want to add to your shooting, collection. You know, if that's what you're minded for. So,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with adding guns to a collection. All right, so cool. You also said on here, all right, so is this a single action with a loading gate?
Yes.
And so he's able to reload this thing in 5 to 6 seconds.
What you do is the hammer comes back to a safety notch. You've got a lever that you lift up, and the top brake, actually, it pivots apart.
Oh, got it. So it's like a brake action then.
Yeah, yeah. It's a top brake, and the extractor star pulls all of the spent cartridges out. Again, though, you've got to do it correctly, or you can make a problem out of that. But generally, yeah, it extracts all of them out, and then your other hand's busy, dropping them right back in, lock it back together, cock it, and continue firing, discharging.
I'm glad you clarified that, because when I had originally read this, I was thinking to myself, okay, so he's opened the loading gate, now he's pushing out each cartridge individually with that, the ejector rod. In this case, he just pops it open, they all shoot out, and then he has to drop six rounds back into there individually, but still much faster than operating through a single loading gate.
Yeah, and his opponents are working with that Colt style, so they have the slower type action design.
Got it. Well, cool.
Although I don't think they lived long enough to get to that next thing.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that they also got hit, too. So Virgil and Morgan Earp and Doc Holliday were all struck by bullets. None of these bullets were fatal. Wyatt stood totally uninjured, his revolver at the ready.
Yeah. Hip. Doc took a glance off the hip. A bullet struck Morgan high and traveled across his upper shoulder blades. And Virgil took a hit to the calf, and that's what dropped him to the ground.
Got it. Okay. Cool. All of which are survivable. What were their opponents shooting? Were they shooting like these things at 600 feet per second? Like you could literally watch it like hit your calf and then pop out the other side?
I feel like you'd have to know that you got hit by that thing. It's going so slow. I can understand something small and fast, but something that large, like a Nerf football just hitting you, going at like a granny's pace, like I feel like you would know.
It would still hurt.
Yeah.
I'd still cry no matter how fast it was going.
Their opponents had .44-40 because that was the cartridge that they were running in their rifles.
Okay.
And so that was the cartridge they were running in their pistol. So they had a faster 255 grain bullet with more 850, 900 foot per second velocities.
Oh, okay. So they're literally using the same handgun that they would have in their single action. Got it.
Cartridge, yeah.
I see that point now. The Colt Model Frontier Pendu frame. Fired 6 cartridge cylinder, single action revolvers chambered in .44-40. Okay.
Yeah.
So 44 caliber, 40 grains of black powder. Perfect.
Correct.
Yep.
And of course, Colt called it .44-40 because they did not want to stamp on their firearms 44 WCF. They did not want Winchester center fire to get any claim around their Colt model.
Yeah.
That's the name 4440.
Yep. Well, cool. Love to have you on the show. You going to write another one of these articles?
I'm constantly working up things like that to help people understand the fun of it or the truth of it. Or so, yes, certainly.
Let's get you on the show, and then you can come on here and actually explain it to us. Like, I don't know.
Explain it to me like I'm five. That's how I like it.
I was trying to find a way to say that without.
Thank you, Matt.
Of course.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Chuck was lost for words. No. He doesn't have a smart drink. No, you do have a smart
drink. No, I don't. I just have a regular water from Kirkland's.
Yeah, you don't have a smart drink.
I didn't bring my Canadian smart drink, Celsius.
And I didn't bring my coffee, so we're doing good.
Hold on, you're talking over the top of the hammer. Go ahead, hammer.
Okay, Matt, I don't mind talking to you as if you were five, because I'm only six.
Perfect.
Yep, and there we have it. There's our leader. Okay.
Oh,
well, I appreciate you calling in. We got to go into a break here. So,
okay.
All right. Good. Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. Stay warm out there.
You know, my dad.
Right. We have to go into a break. So we'll be right back after this break there, ladies and gentlemen. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner at KFAR Studios, 97.5, 660 AM. When we come back, we'll talk about, I don't know, Matt's got something. Anyways, we'll be right back after this break.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it have a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems. Prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with a slight chance for a mix of rain and snow. Highs level off around 41. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 22. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. 41 tomorrow, chance for snow changing to rain. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
It was,
I'm sorry.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi.
Anne forgot to turn off her phone. Anyways, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at the studios in Fairbanks at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how, in our editorial, how the firearms for me, not for thee, and how politicians were essentially making these gun-free zones so that the populace could be disarmed and in their mind making stuff safe. However, they have their own security teams and stuff like that as well, and passing that cost on to the taxpayers. And then we also had Colonel Montana Kid Hammer call in, and we talked about some of the firearms from the gunfight at OK Corral.
Yeah,
which I thought was incredibly interesting. I read that article, that thing that he had wrote last night, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna shoot him a thing, and then I got sidetracked or something. But anywho, doesn't matter. It's awesome that he called in.
It's got it makes sense looking at the muzzle velocity of those weapons, why those fights usually took 3 to 4 business days, because that's how long it was to mail the bullet to the guy across the other end of the
right.
road.
So Pony Express it.
Yeah, exactly. That's here, I'm sending this to you. Don't move. And you're like, okay, thank you.
God. Yeah. But then they had to get more efficient at it.
They did.
So,
and now we're here.
And here we are. All right, Matt, so talk to us. Why is taking firearms classes more important,
even
in constitutional carry states?
I think it's really important. Now, I think it's extremely important on a me thing really quick, because if you go into something with an idea or the thought process of, I already know how to do this, and then you realize very quick you don't. So when it comes to carrying, especially in a constitutional carry state, if I'm going into the idea or going into that mindset of like, I have my firearm, I know how to shoot, I'm okay, I don't need this class, it's legal, whatever, you're going in losing. I think 99% of the people that might go into that any situation with that mindset are going to not have the results that they would like. The reason being, and which I'll get into it here in a second, is you don't have the correct training, you don't have the proper fundamentals, you don't know how to work through problems, you don't, whether it's your issue with your magazine, your pistol itself, you don't understand even the legality behind it, like we discussed in the ACHP class. There's so many things that you might be ill-informed on. You could, you know, have Grok pull up, let me know everything I need to know about concealed carry, and that's it. And that's what people can walk away with. But you're missing out on 3/4 of everything else, plus an actual hands-on training portion that would enable you to feel more confident with your carry. So one of the few things that is important or comes up when it's discussing importance of taking classes even in a constitutional carry state is it's going to enhance your safety and it's going to reduce accidents. Proper training teaches fundamental gun safety rules, safe handling, storage, holstering, and drawing from concealment, significantly lowering the risk of negligent discharges or unintentional injuries to yourself, bystanders, or loved ones. Studies have shown that formal training correlates with safer practices among gun owners. And I think one of the first things that you always bring up when you talk about clearing a firearm, you're done with the day or whatever, is just finding that corner, finding where studs, where I can't, if I do have a negligent discharge, I'm not clearing through a few sheets of drywall and hitting something on the other end. I'm trying to make sure that it's going to just stop, even if it's unintentional. So things like that people aren't really thinking about. They just think, oh, I'm clearing the weapon. And I can't tell you how many, even on the forums, people talking about when they had a negligent discharge, what happened, and how that could have been mitigated just going to a proper class. But one of the other things is it's going to build proficiency and accuracy under stress. And with concealed carry, when you first start out, you feel like everyone is looking at you because you have this firearm, either it's appendix or on your side, whatever. You're worried about printing, you know, all these other things. In reality, if people aren't looking for it, they're not going to notice it. People are very stuck in nature, and humans by nature are lazy. So if they're not looking for something, 9 out of 10 times, they're not going to find it. But with that proficiency and accuracy under stress, concealed carry often involves high-pressure, close-range situations. Look at that mall shooting that took place a few years ago, and I forget what the guy's name is. They created a drill off of it, but he shot the active shooter, I want to say it was at 27 yards, and I think it was 13 out of 14 rounds impacted. He had his training. That's very obviously a high-stress environment, and that's pretty far outside of the normal 3 to 10 feet situations that most shootings are encountered at. But you know, these trainings include live fire practice, understanding how to use your weapon, marksmanship, reloading, and then the decision-making skills that will help you shoot effectively and confidently when it matters most, rather than relying on guesswork or media portrayals, which is something that you always bring up in the classes, is how to determine if this is even worth pulling your pistol out. When are you making the decision to elevate the situation on your end. Another big thing that I think most of our students take away.
That was Eli Dickens, just so you know.
It was?
Yeah. That's what I call the Dickens drill.
Ah, the Dickens drills. Yeah.
So 40 yards.
40 yards. Oh man. Yeah. That is far for that sort of engagement.
And to just the segue off of that, a little bit. That was with iron sights.
Yep.
That's not even with a red dot.
Yep.
Red dot, you can effectively get hits easily, depending on the gun, obviously, and caliber, at 50 yards.
Yep.
I mean, we do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So.
And I want to say he was using some subcompact, too. I mean, it wasn't a full size where you're having everything possible for you, but I mean, nonetheless, and I want to say the mall was also a gun-free zone mall, which kind of ties back into what we were talking about. I could be completely wrong about that. It's come into my head that it was, but regardless, it ties into the legal and ethical awareness. Our students talk about that every single class when we ask for feedback is what do you like? And almost every single person says they love the legal aspect of it. They didn't understand the rules or the laws mm-hmm. that surround these sorts of things. So going to these trainings, even if it's not required by your state, going to this is going to tell you everything that you could possibly want to know or that you have to know about specific self-defense laws, use of force guidelines, de-escalation tactics, liability issues, so you understand when and when not to draw fire. The other thing, too, is it's developing the right mindset and situational awareness. Beyond mechanics, quality courses emphasize threat assessment, avoidance, and mental preparedness. This reduces hesitation or panic and promotes caring as a serious responsibility rather than just a convenience, fostering better overall personal safety habits. And then the last thing is it's going to support public safety and responsible ownership. Research indicates that states requiring training for concealed carry permits see lower rates of certain gun-related incidents compared to those that remove such requirements. Training helps create a community of prepared, skilled carriers who are less likely to contribute to accidents or escalations, which kind of goes back to it. Even though it's allowed, even though you can do it, should you do it? Okay, it's my God-given right to carry. Sure. Why would I not want to be better at it? Why would I not want to train myself? Why would I not want to get training by people who have had the experience, the knowledge, and the studying that goes into it to understand when it's appropriate to do anything outside of just carrying the firearm on you? Yeah, that's kind of my little blurb on why that's important.
I have to agree. Even women need a lot of classes.
Yes. I would say that out of all of this, though, the one takeaway that we really push in our ACHP classes is having the right mindset, situational awareness, and having the discernation to understand that just because I have a gun doesn't mean I need to put myself in situations.
Yep.
Right? It's kind of like, you know, having a hammer and every problem looks like a nail.
Yep.
And I know people have heard that before probably 100 times, but I subscribe to the whole ADRE, avoid, de-escalate, retreat, engage. Like, and if I use last minute or whatever to talk about that, literally it's more than just being in public. It's avoiding bad situations, right? Like, you know, I always used to hear like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future kind of thing. But if you hang around with bad people who are doing bad things in bad locations, the bad things are going to happen.
Yep.
So don't do that.
Eventually.
Be a, you know, a sane, moral, sober, moral person and, you know, and do the right thing all the time. But do you really need, like I tell people in class, do you really need to go to the ATM at 2:00 in the morning in downtown Phoenix? No. You really need to do this where there's a whole bunch of guys gathered around and you're a young female coming from a nightclub? No. Like, find a different time or place to, you know, go back to the ATM at 2:00 in the afternoon or go to a different ATM, maybe in a different area. So avoidance, de-escalate. You'd be surprised how many things can de-escalate just by saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the big scheme of my world, me saying sorry is not going to change anything. But if I got into fisticuffs with you and all of a sudden I have to draw my gun and because I or you just didn't want to back down, then that creates an entirely different dynamic in my life. So if you want that parking spot, knock yourself out. You can have it.
Yeah.
Like in the big scheme of the world, doesn't matter. And then retreat. I think statistically, and people are like, well, you don't need to run away. It's a stand your ground. Yes, but what it says is that you can stand your ground. You have no legal obligation to leave or flee the area if you have a legal right to be there. Got it. But sometimes even the military has what we call retreat. It's called retrograde operations.
Yep.
And then if you get pushed to that final line, then engage. But that's always as a last resort. Your firearm is always a last resort in anything. But we got to go. We can carry on this conversation next Thursday. But thank you for joining us here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. Have a great week. Be safe out there as this stuff melts and thaws and then refreezes overnight. So drive safe.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to